found this in Ganarum. Ganarmir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
Sick Performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Your co-janitor.
My Aaron... co-janitor?
No, yeah, your co-janitor, Aaron O'Brien.
And the female of the species.
God, I would hope so. Faith Hertzberg.
So that means Aaron's the middle of our sandwich.
No, I just help you clean up. after sex.
Okay, well...
I'm just going to bring out my mop here and just clean it up here.
So who's your other co-janitor?
It doesn't matter. I just have to go to the next bedroom after this. Just mop it up.
He just follows the co-janitor, like the co-janitor to switch rooms.
Yeah, just mop it up. I just got my mop bucket. I just go back and forth. And
the co-janitor's the fourth sex.
And I'm going to, while I mop up, I like to make awkward conversation with the couple.
So, was it good?
Yeah. Does, what kind of condoms you guys use? Is that flavored or is that just plain?
We're supposed to use what?
They're not supposed to use those if they need co-genitors to have babies.
I'm not a co-genitor. I'm a co-janitor.
And I hope you're not cleaning up.
Enough of the semantics.
So we're talking about...
If you haven't guessed it yet, we're talking about...
The Enterprise episode, Co-Genitor.
Co-Genitor, indeed.
This is a 2003 episode. I think it's third season?
Second season.
And this is...
Third season's all about the Zindi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is towards the end of second season.
If the Zindi weren't mentioned, it wasn't a season three episode.
Oh, no, Pensacola! Anyways,
Disney World. No, you killed World Disney later. World.
So this episode starts off quite different. They're watching a star slowly go into supernova. Won't happen for like 200 years or something like that. And
supermassive
sun that's destroying itself. And they run into another alien race that actually. Just want to be friends.
Hey, you pal.
And like,
want to come look at a sun?
Yeah, want to come look at the sun. And it's like the one time where actually, like, they're not trying to steal anything from them or kidnap anyone off the ship or just want to take their ship. This is like, these are people just.
We're on the exact same mission. We want to meet new people and look at shit in space.
Yeah, so they meet a species called the Visians, and they're. Pretty much more advanced than Earth and Enterprise.
Way more advanced.
Yeah, they have a lot more technology and knowledge than we are. But they've been exploring for a lot longer.
Except the batteries they use in their phasers, they're the same.
Yeah, their charging system.
That's the one
Apparently, their battery technology like
way
never...
beyond. We were just you know, light years ahead.
Kind of like the people of Catan were good at doors.
Yes, yeah.
Earthlings are good at batteries, apparently.
Yes, there's a huge lag in the Visians' tech. So they're explorers. They're doing studies of this star as well. And they kind of like say, "Hey, you want to come board, and we can show you our tech, and you can have us have us over for dinner, and kind of just everyone get to know each other."
Yeah, that's Yeah, share some ice cream and eating cherries and triple squirting with some women, and then Reed's like, "Oh, I met the engineer. You should go talk to them." He's like, "There are women here.
Where's women?
That's a dude."
Thanks, buddy. I'll go talk to the married couple.
They're a married couple, but they're into threesomes.
Yeah, so that makes him the fourth person and too much. McCall.
But he didn't know that yet.
He didn't know that. Yeah, it's true.
Yet.
They say three's a crowd, but I think fourth is like...
The fourth wheel is the thing in this culture.
Yeah. So, anyways...
That's how cars work. Four wheels.
So,
not in their culture.
They like tricycles.
Tripod.
Three wheelers.
My God, you're a tripod. So they're having a little get together, and Trip goes to meet the engineer, and there is him and his wife, and then there is another Vissian sitting there who seems kind of depressed.
I don't know how to read.
Detached is a really good word.
Detached, without a kind of gray. Not even like dressed like in any kind of flair.
Oh my gosh! Like her outfit looks like a onesie's made out of carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks it's really uncomfortable. Onesie.
I mean, other than the actual alien soft. Makeup, she doesn't even look.
No, but it looks like it's made out of rough carpet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, her face is, or I should say, not her. Its face looks pale. Like it doesn't even have any color into it. It's just very.
They only feed me once a day. They kicked me with their boots.
So who this person is the cogenitor. A cogenitor for the Vissians is a third sex that produces an enzyme that actually helps them procreate. Now, they're a small percentage of the Vissian race. They only make up 3% of the Vissian race.
They say it takes two to tango. It takes three to tingo and make a baby.
Make a baby. And apparently, cogenitors, they get assigned certain couples in their society.
Yeah, they just get passed around.
It's kind of like a library book.
Yeah.
You check one in, you bring it back, you check another one. Yeah.
But it's a library book about sex.
Right, right. So you don't know what you're going to get, you know? I mean, you might request a certain book, but you might not get the book you wanted. That's another thing we haven't.
Do they care about what kind of? I don't think they care about what cogenitor they. As long as they.
We are talking sex here, right?
What?
We are talking sex here, so I imagine like attraction has to have something to do with it.
I don't think so.
It doesn't look like it at all to them. They're as disposable as a piece of paper.
Which is so weird, considering they're like the smallest percentage. They should be like almost treated like royalty.
You think so? But maybe that was an issue in the past. Well,
they took over.
They're like the cons of their planet.
Yeah. They're more advanced.
Yeah. So this really gets Trip's attention because this is like throws him for a loop.
Luckily, it doesn't get his attention before Captain Archer and the captain of the Vissian ship decide to go have fun skinny dipping in the sun with their little ship.
They are completely in love with each other. They take off for like 3 days.
Oh, it's a romantic, yes. You know.
3-day honeymoon.
Yeah.
And a nice 5-axis ship. And
right.
Archer gets his hands on the controls.
Yeah. And the Vissian captain, he is Captain Denrick. And he loves to fly this little stratopod that can actually go into the sun and kind of like, you know, explore, and they can see, which is like tech that's far beyond Earth.
We don't see this tech until Next Generation and metaphasics shielding.
Right.
Which, like, I feel like they kind of cheated a little bit because, like, the Vissians actually have alloys that can withstand this heat.
Right.
Whereas in Next Generation time, alloy still can't, you know, Federation hasn't discovered an alloy that can do this. They have to use special kind of shields.
And Captain Denrick is played by Andreas Cancelas, I think that's says his name, and that is the one-armed man from The Fugitive.
Yeah. And he's also guest starred in several other
he's been a lot
Star Trek
of,
episodes.
He's been a lot of Star Trek episodes, but I just thought it was the one-armed man. You know,
one-armed man.
You find that one-armed man.
The one-armed Vissian.
He's flying around in a stratopod. Archer, take the controls. They only got one arm.
I also thought it was lovely how like everything was really analog in there, like lots of knobs
and
stuff
knobs
like that.
So the two captains are completely enamored with each
other. They're having the bromance of a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. And during that time, Trip is invited over to the Vissian ship to check out their engines, their tech. The engineer there, it seems very happy to show him all the information that possibly, let me give you all the information on our ship. And Tripp's like, that's all cool, but what about that cogenitor again?
How'd you guys do it?
Yeah.
Nothing like a one-track mind.
And he's...
You'd think after getting pregnant on a ship that he would start leaving aliens and sex alone.
But no.
No, he has still figured this stuff out.
Puppy training.
He is the explorer at heart.
He is the pre-Riker.
He's the pre-Riker. He doesn't act on all of his impulses, but he definitely...
He trips into...
sorry.
He trips into situations.
I tripped and fell in. Anyways.
My hands got stuck in some pebbles, and now I'm preggers.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, T'Pol. I got you. Anyways.
sorry, T'Pol. I gave Hoshi sex dreams.
Sex dreams, Hoshi. So the code janitor, he keeps on asking the engineer about it, and he offers it, hey, why don't you come over for dinner, and he gets to see the code janitor again, and he actually has, Phlox gives him a way to scan to see if her brain activity or brain waves.
Yeah, he's like, is she as smart as they are? He's trying to figure it out.
And they, and it is, the code janitor is.
It's as smart as, it's as... potentially capable as the male or female.
But it gets treated pretty much like a pet or a cat or something.
It gets treated worse than a pet because they don't even name them.
Yeah, it doesn't even have a name.
I bet it has a number, though. There's probably a co-genitor registry. There's like a number. Oh, I need co-genitor 862.
Yeah, exactly. So he really piqued his interest then and then finds out that the co-genitor is not being treated as an equal. It kind of he becomes... I don't know if indignant or what he really thinks about it, but he this puts him into action that he's going to do something about it.
He's going to give it human rights.
Right.
He brings it a...
Even though it isn't human.
Right.
Yeah. He's gonna, and T'Pol points this out.
Yeah. And so he sneaks in to their quarters again, and he gives the co-janitor...
A speak and spell.
Speak and spell. How to learn how to read. And within a day, the co-janitor is reading everything.
She's smarter than Uhura.
Yeah.
She went through first grade, fourth grade, all in one day.
Right. So it's Trip's not completely wrong by the cues he's picking up on, but the thing that he seems to be missing is that this isn't his society, his culture, and this is where things go wrong, because
he should have learned this in the first episode when T'Pol yelled at him for yelling at the lady for torturing the kid whenever she was just trying to get him to breathe the atmosphere that he's got to adapt to as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trip obviously.
Trip don't learn. How did you become an engineer if you don't learn?
His mom always said, Trip don't learn. Why do you think we call him Trip? He's a Trip.
He trips over everything.
And so the Vissian co-genitor wants asylum on the Enterprise afterward. After Trip's opened its mind to reading and music and
mountain
movies.
Mountain climbing.
Oh. And engines.
So he shows her the day the Earth stood still. Maybe not the best thing to show an alien.
It's still a good movie.
I don't think it's a bad movie, but it paints humans in a very bad light when it comes to how they treat aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe show them, I don't know, some Disney movie.
Yeah, maybe.
WALL-E. Maybe show WALL-E.
There's no humans in this thing. Well, I guess there are in the end. Anyways, the captain... come back, and Archer's kind of confronted with this, you know, bombshell, because they were having such a great time. There's going to be hands across the universe with the Vissians and the humans, but now it seems like there's going to be problems, because the Vissian wants asylum. Archer has to consider it, and to the Vissian's captain, he seemed very patient about the whole thing.
Oh, the Vissian's captain was really cool. I mean, I was really surprised at how cool he was after hearing the whole thing. The engineer was upset, obviously, because it was his co-genitor.
Right. That's my co-genitor.
Me and my wife want that co-genitor. We've been eyeing her for a long time.
God. I've been making plans and plans.
Man, we're going to have like three babies with that thing.
You know, sadly, facepalming does not actually translate through a podcast very well, but I'm sure I'm going to have a headache at the end of this.
So the...
Your facepalm was heard across the nation.
Facepalm.
Oh, it was felt.
Facepalms across the nation. Well, so this is where it all gets kind of bad, is that Archer realizes that the co-janitor is not in any real harm. It's like, that's the one reason why he would grant her asylum, if there was like actual harm to come to the co-janitor. So he realizes there's no reason to actually give it any protection, because they're not harming it. It's just not, they're not giving him the...
They're not doing anything to it.
Yeah, they're...
Other than whatever
they're neglecting. If you want to call neglect harm.
Well, I mean, like, you know, they're just being very neutral about it.
I don't know if they're being
neutral. They don't help it, but they don't really hurt it. They
don't let it read.
Well, they never taught it to read. They never gave it a speaking spell.
Well, that's true, but they're treated as second-class citizens. That's definitely
not even really second-class, because they're not given anything.
Yeah, they're more like furniture.
Pet.
Yeah, pet furniture kind of thing. So we hand over the co-janitor, and Archer brings it back to the Vissians. The Vissians take off, and...
You think the episode's going to be over, and it's just like, oh, shucks, we messed up first contact. Nope.
It got worse. The Vissian captain called and was very upset. We don't really hear that conversation, but the co-janitor, not long after they left, committed suicide. Archer obviously confronts Trip with this, and you know, basically, like, you messed up big time. And Trip was like,
I was just trying to do what you do.
And he's like, I must have been given a pretty bad example. And I'm like, your example's kind of all over the board.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's very much over the
board.
Yeah,
I mean, because when I saw that episode originally,
I could see that
be confusing. It's like, that's, you know, that goes against what, you know, humans value. But then again, that's not, you know, we're judging it on human values, not on alien race values, you know, so.
Yeah.
I thought
Trip was going to get demoted, because he's like,
I really did,
like,
too.
He's like, maybe this will teach you a lesson. Then he doesn't even say anything. I'm like,
I think it's punishment enough.
Well, it's just like they were best friends before, you know, and now he's kind of got to like treat him as just a subordinate.
Yeah, so
like I think that was his punishment, is that they can't be friends.
Well, that also, and he has that on his conscience, that, you know, what he did with the co-janitor, you know, sparked, you know, such grief and despair that it actually committed suicide, because it knew its life would be, you know, the same as before.
And it, you know, prevents new life from coming. Not only is its life gone.
Exactly. That's another aspect of it as well.
It's prevented how many lives from being born.
Well, and I think this episode is what's cool about it is it starts off as sort of like a light, fluffy, you know, like exploring thing. And then it just like grabs you by the guts and just wrenches them. You're like, there you go.
Here's
stew on that for a while.
Here's your dose of heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's really good, and it's just what Star Trek does, like, so well. And,
yeah,
you know, like,
absolutely.
Like, it's probably one of the best, I'm probably, you know, overstepping a little bit, but it's probably one of the best, like, message episodes
absolutely.
Since probably the original series. I'm sure I'm missing lots of really
great
episodes.
Well, TNG had a lot of message episodes.
They did, but, like, I don't think any that were, like, as, like, gut-punchy as this one was.
And this doesn't give any solutions at the end of it. It just gives you – it presents you with the problem and doesn't give you a clear solution.
And
was Trip right? Was Archer and the Vissian captain right? I mean, it's like there's a huge gulf of things that could be thought and said here, because –
Yeah, and it's like, but it's, you know, but at its heart, it's a gender equality issue that's real, you know.
It's any equality issue, like, and how do we judge? I mean, we see that today. I mean, geez, we see women in Saudi Arabia who are treated as second-class citizens. I mean, obviously, our country had the same problems, you know,
women not being able to
vote.
It
still does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
there's a lot of... class issues in general that do not get resolved properly.
And the pay, I mean, there's pay, you know, differences between men and women. And
I'm not even defending any of that, but I'm just saying that, you know, obviously there's second class issues where we see strongly that, you know, like, there are some people in the world that are not treated as equals whatsoever. I mean, America doesn't have it all right, but at least we've made some steps forward, you know, that, you know, people of different races are treated as equal as much as possible. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Nowhere is perfect, but it's such an eye-opening episode, just the way that it touches on gender issues specifically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other one was I'm trying to remember the one with Riker.
The TNG episode.
Yeah, I can't remember what that
I can't remember what the name was, but I feel like that's a little bit more...
That had, but that was more, I think it more sided on maybe...
Homosexuality.
Yeah, gay rights. But it wasn't, like, clear because they were kind of a neutered race.
Yeah, but it was like, it was just like, oh, well, it's going to decide to have a sex one way or the other. And then it's like, no, you can't do that. So they're trying to put, like, the lid on, I mean, like...
Right.
I guess choosing one way or the other was like a... Like being anti-gay or something for their race or something.
Right, right.
I mean, you kind of have to read into that one a little bit. It's not as like blatant as this episode where it's very gender-specific. I mean, gender-focused in general.
Yeah, no, it definitely for sure. It's a totally different thing. But that's the only other one I can think of that, you know.
That was kind of heavy like that because it just ends with such a like, oh...
Yeah, it's a strong episode. I think this is, like you said, this is one of those episodes that is quintessential what I think Star Trek should be more often. I don't, you know, it's not that the adventure thing isn't cool and, you know, that, you know, the all the crazy antics they get into, but it should have that underlying question or moral dilemma that it brings up, and it doesn't give you maybe all the answers, but it makes you think about it,
or it sparks discussion.
Absolutely,
and it makes you work towards that solution. Because realistically, I mean, honestly, this is still a form of exploration. It doesn't matter whether it is outward or inward; it's still a type of growth and learning process.
Yeah, and with that is, you know, I grappled with myself because, I mean, when I first saw the episode. I completely take the side of Trip. It's like Trip did the right thing. This is what should have been done. They should have gave her the cogenitor asylum and let it take off. You know, let them take off with the cogenitor. But then you know you watch it again and you're like, but they're not human. So does that give them a different quality or a different society? I mean, it's like how are we to judge things? You know, for them. You know, just
instead
because
of. Looking at them as aliens and non-human, look at them as a alternate culture. Because realistically, yeah, Trip's right. Ideally, in a utopian society, that would be brilliant. But you're talking about upheaving an entire culture that is used to this particular mindset. That's not going to go over very well. We've seen how that works.
Right. Well, but I mean, the same thing is like when you say people like, you know, I mentioned before, like women in Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's a different culture, different set of beliefs, and I don't agree with that. But then on the flip side, it's like, you know, there are, you know, millions and millions of Arabs that do, you know, that believe in that Islamic interpretation. And there's plenty that don't as well. But, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things like, you know, like, are we right to – because, I mean, you go back, you know, a couple thousand years, we weren't any better. So, I mean, there's all these questions that just kind of, like, flood your head, and you're like, well, what is, you know, like, what's right? And maybe they just have, maybe the Visians haven't just got there yet in their, you know, social evolution, you know.
Or maybe they have and realize that this is just a better way, and it allows them to pursue, you know, higher technology and advancing, you know, their sciences as much as possible. I mean, you know, that might have been how that was allowed.
And
you don't know.
And to go along with that is perhaps because they're only 3% of the population, maybe this is the most – this is the easiest way for them to procreate enough to keep a sustainable race. Because let's say you are a cogenitor and you're like, I don't want to have sex with those people. You know, I'm going to choose who I want to have sex with. And then that kind of like offsets things. And then all of a sudden certain people are not allowed, you know, to have children because of that, you know. I mean, there's a whole set of questions there, you know.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point. You know, maybe they have to treat them in this horrible way so that it is sustainable for the race. But, I mean, I almost thought that since they're such a small percentage of the race, they'd be like treated like almost like royalty. Right. I mean, you know, to one respect, I mean, they're such a small part of, and they're so essential. Like, you know, pamper them, make them, you know, want to continue on the race. Because I mean,
yeah,
I understand making them dumb will well, you know,
you can control them.
You can control them,
right.
But I mean, if they're pampered and made well off, I mean, sure they might try to be choosy, but like it's the good of the race. You have to,
right?
Like, you know, it should be taught. Like you can't say no to the couples,
right?
But we're gonna treat you good otherwise.
Or maybe they are, instead of you can't say no to couples, maybe you can be like, you are not ready for children yet, kind of thing. Like maybe they're the people that kind of like the gates of like, you
oh,
know,
like making sure they're financially and
yeah, maybe certain couples are just, it's not going to work for them. You know, maybe in if they, you know, this is just me riffing, but
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, maybe that would be a way to have more stable families. There's so many things that, you know, that you could put. We were talking before we recorded, was the only other time I've seen in sci-fi a three-sex race was there was a show called Alien Nation that was based off a movie, and there was like sort of a cop show that was with
it was an alien buddy cop show.
Yeah, it was an alien. There was like a human and an alien, and there was a murder, and it was this this guy who got murdered. Obviously was more well endowed than most aliens were, and the guy was like, what's going on with here? And he's like, well, these are our, you know, cogenitors, our third sex. But those were treated as like very, like you're saying, like as a almost holy reverence.
Yeah.
That, you know, this was very special if you were born one of them, and you know, you were treated super good. So it was like there was like a high profile case.
I see both sides of this. On one end, you have 3% of the population that's treated like it's furniture, or you know, just an honor, or like a pet, not even, you know, taken care of very well. And on the other side, you could suddenly create these people into a position of power, like serious power,
mm-hmm.
where you have them put on a pedestal. You're basically, you know, worshiping them. You could lose your whole civilization.
Oh, like yeah. I could see that, I mean, too.
You allow such a small percentage of the population that amount of power. Well, you have the sexual version of the economic situation we currently have.
Yeah, I see. I could see that.
They're using sex and breeding as a monopoly. And that, I mean, and she picked up things very, very quick. Well, picked up on things very, very quickly.
Right.
So, I mean, you could argue that they could outdo the other two genders. And maybe that was a problem. They don't go into the back history very well on them. But it'd be neat to know, did that happen at one point where the cogenitors were treated like that? And then they decided to make this culture the way it is because of that threat.
That's possible. I mean, well, we made the joke that they were the cons of the Vissian. But I mean, yeah, but no, that's a good point. And that's another thing, is like maybe there was a time that they were more put as a reverence, and maybe that was scaled far back because it was just too much. I, you know, it's still, you have all these, like I said, it just like sparks all these ideas and thoughts. And you,
so
and,
many doors.
Yeah, and obviously we were not given any real background of the Vissians, other than that they were much more advanced than the humans and things like that. So,
well, you know, another thing that kind of just made me think of in this episode that we haven't exactly talked on yet. So, okay, the 3% of the race, they're treated like animals. So, like, whenever like a couple or a triple conceives another cogenitor, I'm like, oh man, we got a cogenitor. like
yeah,
do they just like kick it to the curb and like make it grow up in the streets until it's old enough to have sex? Like, I don't understand, like how, like,
maybe they go to cogenitor school.
They just go to a kennel,
because yeah,
they don't learn anything,
right.
Like,
it also makes you wonder if that 3% is deliberate.
Maybe they throw off cliffs like Spartans. It's a cogenitor. Try again.
Throwing doors completely open. Let's go ahead and toss that one open while we're at it. I mean, there has been selective breeding practiced.
Well, let's even face it. I mean, there were times where in human history, where if a female was born, that they would destroy the female child, because I mean,
even if it was male, like the Greeks, if they believed that child was too weak or sickly, it didn't matter if it was male or female, they'd leave them out leave them out to die.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying is that we've definitely dealt with that too as a human race, where we've
mm-hmm.
Practices. Well, look at isn't China? China is one of the issues, that the overpopulation, so they're only limited to one child per household, and a lot of them don't want females; they want males.
So the girls get given up to adoption.
Girls get out for, adoption, or they're once they find out they're aborted because they find out it's a female. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
Well, that's a huge thing because, like, there's too many males in China because of this practice.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
and there's not enough females.
Marriage now.
Yeah. And maybe that'll offset it. Maybe the population will go down. I don't know. But that is that's a huge thing too. So obviously we're still grappling with things very similar, and we only have the two sexes to consider. So there's a lot going on. I don't think we've figured out.
Oh no, we got a long way to go to figure stuff out. I hope we start figuring stuff out so we can move to this world that is Star Trek. I mean, I know it's science fiction, but like Gene Roddenberry's dream was that this is our future.
Right.
This isn't Star Wars. This isn't a long time ago. This is our future. We need to make this happen. We need to proactively make this happen because, a world that gets along, that we can think of what we can accomplish if we all work together, which is why he had such that diverse cast. Nichelle Nichols and George Takei and a guy playing a Russian. I'm not sure if
I agree, and that's really what we wanted to see. I mean, and if you go back to the Cage, Captain Pike's second in command was a female officer too, and that was scaled back from the TV studios because they were like, oh, I don't know if people are going to go for that. So that's one of the things he had to revamp as well when he brought on Kirk and Spock and stuff like that from the Captain Pike. So. Obviously, Roddenberry's vision is far beyond anything that was going on at the time.
It is far beyond, and it's far beyond now. Like, people just are stuck in
this current rut.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back to the 60s, and there was so much a revolution, not just culturally, but also of the mind. And now it just seems like we've, become so, narcissistic that we just look into ourselves and not seeing the whole society as a whole or the past as anything as well. I mean, it doesn't seem like we even look into the past.
Well, it's human nature to be very, very selfish. And it used to be that we were forced to be in close contact with one another because we didn't have items like social media and that to express ourselves. Now we can hole away in our little room and never see the light of day and hurl insults across the internet. So what's the point in caring about anybody else?
Obviously that's part of it. And there's other sides of it as well that, just the last, I don't know how long it's been since television's been invented, but that's another side of it too, is that we've been enamored,
desensitized.
Yeah, we've been enamored with their devices that we're so into it, and then we don't actually have human connections, as before. I think we completely, we cut that all out. And so we don't have the strong family connections, the friendship connections as that used to be.
And
there's not as much value in those to us anymore. I mean, there's a lot of people that can probably go significant periods of time without even speaking with their own family and be okay with it.
Yeah. I know about that, too. So
I think we can all think of some personal experience that referenced that.
Yeah. This episode is completely loaded. It's a loaded gun that, like I said, just does not present itself as a loaded gun at first.
No, it just seems like it's going to be a really nice episode. But, I mean, it's like, I think if there's an episode that will get you into Star Trek for someone who's never seen Star Trek before, this would be a good episode to show anybody.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, Star Trek. Like you're saying, this is the original series. This is actually looks good, where the original series, you're always like, oh, you have to get past the corniness of the original series, like all the props and stuff like that. That's especially for younger audiences, they just have a hard time seeing past it. This is a good that they can watch and like, oh, okay, I can get into it,
Yeah, and Enterprise has such great production values.
Absolutely.
I got to admit I cheated a little bit on last week's episode since we had already done the two Enterprise episodes of the Klingons episode. I basically just skipped the parts where I saw Malcolm Reed or saw Harris. And because I did that and I wasn't watching the entire episode, I was just seeing little snippets and I was just noticing how well – it was how well the show was produced, because I was only seeing little snippets where like there'd be no music sometimes. Sometimes the music would be extremely orchestrated and really good. And just every little thing about it. Enterprise is such a good, well-done show.
Yeah.
And this episode really brings what Star Trek is to heart. This one in particular where, you know, it's got that strong message, you know, moral dilemma, and it sparks lots of conversation. This is like the quintessential Star Trek episode.
I agree.
If any Star Trek episode is Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, Enterprise has had a few of those here and there. A lot of them are more adventure-based.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, they get on a planet, they get stuck, or they get captured and stuff like that. But this is like one of those things that, like, there's no real crisis other than the internal and cultural crisis that we're seeing. So
it's just a good story.
Yeah.
And even though it was a good story episode, they didn't skip on special effects. I mean, the stuff with the little shuttle pod that's going around the sun, that was like, that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was really
nice.
And
they did some really cool stuff. I mean, it wasn't like action, super action-y, but it was, they still like, it was a bottle show more or less, but it was still like, had some decent special effects in it when the episode almost didn't even need that.
Yeah.
It could have been all spent on the...
it could have been Archer and the captain went off, they don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, hey, we had a great time, you know. We sucked each other's dicks. It was great.
Well, you know, they were gone for 3 days, and we only saw them every now and then.
To Paul was like, it's a long time for three people to be in 3 days in a small quarters. Archer's, you know, like, I'm fine with it.
No, I kind of wish you would have, like, referred to, like, Apollo or something like that, where, like, three men were stuck in an even smaller space.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, man, Earthlings used to be in much smaller things when they were first exploring space. This will be a breeze.
This will be easy for me. I lock myself in a trunk every once in a while just to get used to this type of thing.
Although, like, another thing I noticed when just watching the little snippets when I was cheating on last week's episode, all the walls are flat. But every 4 or 5 feet, they've got, like, circle things cut out to make it feel more claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it gives it that submarine or, like, you know, aircraft carrier feel, which is kind of cool. But just noticing, I'm like, that's like just getting in people's way.
Don't you realize? You're just going to hit your head on that. Yeah, and I
like the way it looks, but like when I'm like just like looking at small snippets of things, I start like looking at things like in a different way.
Right.
And so I'm like, that's really impractical. I mean, it's making you feel a certain way, which is definitely by intention. But like looking at the practicality, like why would you waste all this extra metal?
When when this was originally proposed, the Enterprise TV show some years back, I was reading about it, and they were saying how they wanted to make it seem like it was obviously an older ship, you know, that they don't have it all figured out, which obviously it was, you know, that it had to be like more of, like you said, like a kind of a submarine or something like that.
Like an aircraft carrier. Like,
yes. You
know, with the thick, heavy doors with a trunk.
It wasn't going to be like the smooth gliding doors and you know, things like in Next Generation. And I was like, oh, that's what a great idea. The only thing I felt is after I watched it, I thought they still had like a lot of displays and stuff like that. Like they had in Next Generation. And I was kind of hoping there'd be more like switches and stuff like that, like you saw in the original series.
Yeah.
You know, it's just stuff like that. But, I mean, I was kind of disappointed with that. But, I mean, Enterprise is still, production is just amazing. So, you know, that was just my personal preference in the end. But that had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and I also looked at the Travis's like station, and I feel like they just redressed one of the like one of the things Data sat at.
I'm sure,
because I mean it's got the same basic design to it, but it's just got a whole bunch of clunky things on it to make it look like it's clunky.
Yeah,
instead of like the nice smooth thing. So I was just looking at the design. So I was just like looking at things a lot closer, since I wasn't like sitting through the whole episode just to kind of like
enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm looking at it deeply, I'm like, oh, these are neat little things I'm noticing.
No, there's it. Yeah, well, Enterprise is obviously very well done. So we got to see, obviously, like we were saying, like the whole moral dilemma there. But we also had another issue with the races is that they like food that smells like garbage. They like very pungent smelling food, and they thought that our food
It was too mild.
It was a little too mild. Apparently, smell was a big thing for them, so they wanted food that really, really stunk. And even Tripp came over, and it was a very mild meal. He was like, whoa. So just piled like a heaping pile of garbage on my...
It was very nicely prepped-looking garbage, though. It looked nice on the plate.
It did look nice.
They didn't Bobby Flay it or anything.
Bobby Flay it. Yeah, exactly. But so this was a learning experience that they all had to get used to. The first scene with them, they're all eating like sundaes, like ice cream.
Yeah, sundaes. Ice cream and cherries on top. And gotta eat the cherry first.
So yeah. But then there was another cultural exchange that we should explore.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. And you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars. Universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
Well, it's been a couple weeks since we've had a Riker scores or Harry fails, but today is the day you've been waiting for.
Yes, we can finally report we have a score.
And this time it's Malcolm Reed who
scores.
How
this happened, how the stars aligned for Malcolm.
It's beyond comprehension.
It is beyond comprehension.
But anyway, he was showing cheese to a very nice blonde-headed Vissian. And
let me show you my cheese collection. Come over here.
I was told that you like pungent foods, so I had our cook put together fruit and cheese because in our culture they seem to go together quite well.
They go together well. That's the English way.
English way.
Actually, it's probably more of a French way. But
here's some. Something monster, and she smells it, and then she doesn't eat it.
She gives it to him.
She gives it to him all sexily.
And then she starts wiping his mouth.
With her
giant finger. Hands.
But, you know, at least she doesn't have that little, like, lightning stuff coming out, like when Tripp was getting fed. women like feeding men in Enterprise.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Like, here, put this in your mouth, and I'll rub your lip and make it look all sexy-like.
They know how to treat the men.
But apparently she's in the guns. And she's asking about the weaponry, and Reed gives the best line ever. It's like, there's an old Earth expression, if you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Oh my.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Behave. Malcolm's like the Austin Powers of Enterprise.
Yes, he's doing it.
Do I make you horny? Do I?
Oh, Randy, baby. Randy. I want to see him doing. I just want to see him go, Randy, baby.
He's on the rotating bed like an awesome house. Do I?
I bet he's got the big old hairy chest in the shape of a heart.
And he's got the British flag underwear Speedos on. He's sticking his ass in the air with the Union Jack on his ass. You know? Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So he brings her to the warhead room, and I just kept getting a bad feeling. Oh, no, she's going to, like, do something to him.
He's like, this is so quaint. This is so quaint.
Because
it's all antiquated, like, technology for
her. Because they don't have photonic warheads.
They don't have photonic.
And they're phallic missiles.
Yeah. But then he's going to show her.
It's like, wait, I've got something else to show you.
The cannon array. And she goes, show me your cannon array.
I've got one in my pants, too, if you know what I mean.
And she goes, I've been meaning to get you alone. I've been wanting to have sex with you all day.
And then he jumps up and hits his head on nothing because he's next to the pipe, not underneath it. Yeah. He pretends like he hits his head on something.
And he goes, I have some Fremunderball cheese to give you if you like. She's like, oh, my.
And apparently they do it on some weapons. I mean, it pans away and it changes scene, but apparently they're just
having
it
sex
in the,
on the torpedoes. on the cannon array. They're just having sex right on it. Malcolm's biggest wet dream ever.
Oh, man. Like, it's the weapons get him horny enough, but then he's got a beautiful woman.
Now he's got
with
a woman.
Weapons.
Yeah, with it. So, yeah, Malcolm really scored. I mean, this is probably the once in a lifetime thing that's ever happened to him, you know. So, and I bet he's pretty pissed off at Trip because he screwed up the whole thing with the Visians.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
probably won't see them for another 50 years till they forgive Earth for that whole thing with their cogenitors.
The
so.
Whole initiating suicide with a cogenitor.
Right.
What literature was he giving her where suicide? Oh, I guess they did have Hamlet.
They did give him Hamlet, yeah. Yeah. And a lot of.
Ophelia committed suicide. She was like doing on a good old Ophelia.
Yeah, and they a whole bunch of Shakespeare, so it's all filled with murder
and
suicide. So,
oh,
yeah.
Man. So that's what she started reading after her Trip left.
Fuck.
Oh,
I
man.
But, yeah, so...
She went out in a Shakespearean style. I thought that was really kind of, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, it's kind of like they're making it a Shakespearean tragedy.
Well, but I always thought that Star Trek, no matter what, always has callbacks to Shakespeare all the time.
Yeah.
Going back to the original series.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But
like
but,
the one episode, Rose by Any Other Name, is actually a quote from a Shakespeare. Quote. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's like they're always referencing Shakespeare.
But also, I just love the mentioning all the – he's like picking all these great Shakespeare things that he's read, and then
right.
it goes to that.
Yeah, but Malcolm –
So, you know, last week we posed the question whenever Captain Archer invaded his privacy.
Privacy. Those are my private files.
We posed the question as to what Malcolm is actually into.
I said feet. I said black penis.
So Travis Mayweather's penis. And
we were both wrong.
We were both wrong. He's into co-genitor.
Co-genitor three-way sex.
And we know who's got the pictures.
Dr. Phlox provided him the pictures.
And I'm sure there's videos, too. Like,
Dr.
Phlox is extremely thorough.
Just the scene where Phlox goes, he tells Trip, goes, I've got pictures.
He's like, he tries to explain it to Trip. He's like, and I don't think I want to know. I'm pretty sure Trip wanted to know, just that censors said he made it say he didn't want to know.
I just thought it was hilarious.
He's like, I got pictures instead of you don't
I know. Just Phlox says, I got pictures. He's so excited about it. And then he's like, no. Nah, and he walks out, so... I had Malcolm came back and was like, could I have those pictures of the three-ways?
Can I have 10 minutes to view these?
Can I get clearance?
Could I have clearance on that?
I mean, I've already done it, so, I mean, I just want to get how the full picture works.
I want to have a co-genitor three-way.
Would it work?
He tried to have it with the cannon array, but that didn't work quite well. Yeah, so that is the score of Malcolm's lifetime,
probably. And
I
in the in the phaser room.
Yeah, I mean,
phase cannon room
doesn't get any better than that. So, well, at least for Malcolm, and she's their tactical or armory officer or whatever her position was. So she was into that whole thing too, the whole military. Guns side, so.
And apparently one of the things she screams out when she's orgasming is the secret for photonic weapons, because
then
a couple episodes later they have photonic weapons.
It's like,
hey,
thank you.
It's anti-matter. It works. Oh, God. We get some light in there too, photons.
Well, and you know that that Malcolm's got that whole thing under video surveillance, so he's got the whole thing taped, so he can go over
from
and
multiple
over
angles.
Yeah. So, yeah, Malcolm.
Like, oh, she gave me the secrets of photons.
Yeah, the photons.
Not futons.
Photons.
Give me
photons.
We have the secret of futons, but not photons.
Would you like me to show you futons?
He'll show you his futon.
Futon torpedoes. They make your feet feel comfy.
How quaint.
Because his feet is his second fetish.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, there we have it. Cogenitor. It is a great episode. I can't really think of anything else that in an Enterprise that gives you that feeling as often as, I mean, because most of them are, like I said, adventure-based episodes. So every once in a while, you get like an episode that like just leaves you like scratching your head and thinking about it. And that's a great episode. I think at, like movies, books, anything that makes you walk away and you're still thinking about it like a day later or something like that. Like that's good writing.
So if you haven't seen this episode, go rewatch it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, and if you've got a friend who has not watched Star Trek and you're trying to get him into it, I think this would be a really good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's all about the story.
You don't have to know all this backstory. You don't have to know all that stuff.
There's like nothing you really need to know. I mean, like they do some, you know, techno babble with like Trip and the engineer talking about how the deuterium injectors work without needing.
But Trip was even not interested either.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think the audience could really identify with Trip. Anyone could.
Yeah.
I think this is, like, if you need someone, an episode to get a friend in the Star Trek, this is, like, the one.
This is a good
like,
one.
I right now I can't think of any better example to, like,
get. I'm sure we'll come across more as we talk about different episodes, but this was one that you just see and you're like, yeah, this is a good entry point.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely other ones, but I mean, I can't think of any better ones to start a newbie into Star Trek with.
Yeah, yeah, especially like a younger viewer, you know, someone who's, you know, isn't put off by older styles of clothing and hairstyles.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, even early Next Generation sometimes looks a little goofy, you know.
Yeah, and as time goes on, I mean, to kids nowadays, TNG is going to look as dated as,
oh, absolutely,
as the original series does to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the
'80s. Wasn't that when people had big hair?
They're coming back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, soon it'll be the 2000s are coming back. Whatever happened then?
What's old is nude again.
Yeah, nude.
Oh, new. I'm sorry.
He got distracted.
By that cogenitor stuff that Phlox has got.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta get
that's dirty.
We got our hands on that. Gotta get our hands on those pictures. Yeah, if anybody wanted to do any fan art of cogenitor three ways,
no,
send it
they're
to.
We're gonna put our faces on it.
Oh, thanks for giving them the idea. We'll play.
No, no.
Good job.
Oh, God. No, just him mentioning that. I'm just saying what's gonna happen. Like, you know, it's.
All I'm going to request is you be tasteful.
Just, yeah. But you can't post it to the Facebook page. Just send it to our email address.
Synthaholics@yahoo.com, guys.
Yes. Don't send.
Don't
put
get
it
in
on,
trouble.
Yeah, don't put it on the Facebook page because it'll probably get flagged.
Yeah.
Oh, guaranteed. Just, you know, don't get yourself banned.
There's been people that have put different pictures here and there, and I think it's made a lot of raised some eyebrows here and there as well. So always be careful. Yeah. joking, doing a three-way fanfic pictures. So.
Yeah, we'd love to see art. If you get any of you guys are artists, definitely send it to, you know, synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also, any suggestions for episode topics, send to synthaholics@yahoo.com. We are more than happy to go over topics and talk about what you want to hear about. Because, I mean, that's why we're here. We're here for you to listen to us. And if there's something you want to hear us talk about.
Yeah, throw anything out that you might want to hear, and we'll have fun with it, and we'll tease it and play around with the idea.
Because we like playing with things.
Play with things all the time.
Do I make you horny? Do I?
Would I
make you horny, baby?
Yeah, so.
Oh, wow. Well played.
Austin Powers.
Well, with that, we will say adieu.
Adieu. We wanted to let you know that Dollar Music is provided by Warp 11. You can follow us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. I am David_J_Duncan at Twitter.
I'm Blackbird2004 on Twitter.
And I am Faith Hertzberg on Twitter.
Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/Synthaholics.
And definitely go onto iTunes and leave some reviews. All 5 stars, how stellar we are.
And then we'll maybe even start reading some of these reviews on the air and thanking you for how awesome you are, for saying how awesome we are.
And check out on the site, we also have our Patreon page. If you want to look into that, that would be great too. If you can throw some cash our way, we have some rewards for that as well.
If not, just go ahead and share it with your friends, because sharing is caring, and we want to be shared.
When you're in...
like a cogenitor.
When you're in your quiet moment... A quiet moment when you're there with your significant other and your cogenitor in bed after you've done your deed, turn over to them and say, "Darling, I'd just love if you just download a Synthaholic episode and just
let it massage our ears.
Just let's play that and listen to that together.
Let's fall asleep to Synthaholic.
Let those three melodic voices bring you to slumber.
And then you wonder why you're alone."
We are not responsible for any of the disturbing dreams that occur after falling asleep to our episodes. And we will not apologize.
And we're not responsible for any of breakups that happen after that as well.
Yeah, that's not our fault, dude. We'd love to help you out with that, but
right.
That wasn't us this time.
Well, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper.
She won't shut up.
Things.
It just all stacked against you.
Words.
The cards are cards are stacked against you.
Shuffling.
At least they made me short, because then I can see underneath the problem.
Height.
There you go.
It's true. How do you think I get through the damn conventions?
Crowds.
It's not just the boobs.
But the boobs.
I thought you had a scooter.
No.
Yeah, like a little horn on there.
Imagine me on a scooter, I'd be like, neat.
That'd be awesome.